I'm your host, Annada Rathi, a food writer and cooking instructor specializing in Indian flavors. I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Kanchan Sringi, a technology professional and a mom. She has challenged me to write my recipes so that they are not only simple and flavorful, but can be cooked in the time you have. We talk about how to put together exactly one meal in each episode. You will know the ingredients, the equipment, and the steps to prep and cook. Listen to the podcast, look up the recipe on our website, and start cooking. Listeners, it's time for new beginnings, and we are jazzing up the format of our podcast. We are opening the show to home cooks, the warriors who cook through sickness, deadlines, quirks, pandemics, likes, dislikes, allergies, and worst of all, pickiness. These unsung heroes of the kitchen will tell us about the one recipe that rocks their boat. Listen up, folks, we are just about to hand over the keys of the culinary kingdom to you.
All right, Pooja, so happy to have you on. And I am quite excited to do the meal that you're going to talk about. So tell our listeners, what is it?
Thanks for having me, Kanchan. I share the excitement. Today, I'm going to share the meal, which is very close to my heart. It's called Aloo Methi Ki Sabzi with Misi Roti. And to tell our listeners who do not understand Hindi that well, it's basically fenugreek potato curry with a flatbread made out of wheat flour and chickpea flour.
So why did you choose this specific dish?
I chose this specific dish for many reasons. One is it's very simple to make. It come together in about 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Second, Methi has been always been a special place in my heart. In India, we used to get that during the winter time, and whenever my mom used to make it, that was my favorite day of the week. It is a recipe that brings really fond memory from childhood.
You said it is easy to make, but what about the ingredients? Because when I remember Methi, I used to like it too, but I remember it involved a pretty elaborate planning where somebody had to go and clean the leaves, and it could take hours.
You're right, Kanchan. So your memory is completely right, and it's true. All the hard work used to be done by mom. So, of course, I've forgotten it conveniently. My life has definitely made easy by today's technology and today's convenience that the stores offer. So the reason why I call it simple and easy is because I just go to Indian store and buy the fenugreek leaves from their frozen aisles. And then that makes my life very easy because what they have done is they have cleaned up the methi and frozen it into square pieces. So I just open the freezer, take a few square pieces out, and start cooking my vegetables. So I do not have to go through that grueling task of cleaning the leaves and preparing the methi. But if anyone wants to do that, then they can definitely pre-prep the methi leaves over the weekend.
Yes, it is a good meditative exercise for people that cannot actually meditate, I think. So that's one. And then you have Misi Roti. Roti is not the easiest thing to make, but I hope you will help us, help our listeners understand the steps here. And this is not the normal roti. You're adding chickpea flour to it. Is that right? And does that make it easier or harder than a regular roti?
So I believe the putting the dough together might be a little bit trickier because The chickpea flour is supposed to be a little bit stickier than the wheat flour, but rolling the rotis will get easier because chickpea flour provide that kind of base. It's more stable and it is just easier to roll. Again, the few kind of hacks here is you can always use your KitchenAid stand-up mixer that you use for cake to put the dough together. And then the second one, instead of rolling the roti, you can use a tortilla press to create those tortillas, and then you can cook them on the stove.
Mm-hmm. I definitely will try to use the dough maker capability of my food processor. But let's complete the ingredients. So chickpea flour, regular wheat flour, the methi cubes frozen,
mm-hmm.
potatoes. Any special kind of potatoes?
No special kind of potatoes. I generally have russet potatoes at home, so I generally use that. But you can use any kind of potatoes. You can use golden potatoes. You can use red potatoes. So no, the recipe doesn't require any particular kind of potatoes. Whatever potatoes you have that day, just feel free to use them.
Which other ingredients?
So most of the other ingredients you can find in your pantry. So chickpea flour, we mentioned fenugreek leaves and potatoes. The one thing that some of the listeners may not have in their pantry is something called asafoetida. It's hing in Hindi. So this recipe, both aloo methi as well as the misi roti, they need good quantity of hing in it. So that is definitely one of the ingredients. If you don't have it handy, they can get it from the Indian store.
And we did talk a little bit about the equipment. You can, of course, knead the dough by hand, but you can also use either a food processor or a mixer.
Yes.
A dough mixer, whatever you use for cakes.
Yes, exactly.
What else do you need?
So to cook the vegetable, to cook the curry, you will need a flat pan. So that is with a lid, because we need to make sure that the potatoes take some time to cook. So, and we want the curry and the vegetables to get cooked in the steam. So you will need a pan with a lid. And in order to roll the parathas or roti, either you use the tortilla press or you can use a roller pin along with a base. So in Indian house, in kitchens, you generally find a flat base with a rolling pin. But if you do not have that handy, I hope you have the rolling pin that you use to roll the pizza. And then you can use either your counter or the chopping board as the flat base where you can roll the rotis.
Sounds good. Now we get to the most interesting part. And it'll be helpful if you can talk about how the dish comes together, keeping in mind anything one can do to be ready before in smaller pockets of time. What we've been in our podcast been calling advanced ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Some maybe make in advance and it is taking you towards the whole dish.
Yeah, that's a good question. So a few things that our listeners can do in advance is definitely one thing is prepare the dough. And this dough can last for about a week in your fridge. So if you have time on the weekend, you can quickly put this dough together. And when the day you're ready to make the rotis, you just take this dough out from the fridge and you can start rolling rotis. So that is definitely one of the advanced step that you can do. The other advanced step that you can do a day in advance is basically peel and chop your potatoes, because I think the longest time in this putting this recipe together, besides the cooking time, is actually making the dough and chopping the potatoes. So these are the two things that you can do in advance.
So talk about the dough. What do you do? How much of the chickpea flour? How much of the wheat flour? What else do you put? And is there a special technique?
Sure. So for the dough, so as a family of four, assuming everyone is going to consume 2 to 3 bread per person, so about 12 breads, I take about 1.5 cups of wheat flour and then about 1.5 cups of chickpea flour. And to that flour, I add some salt, some asafoetida, some crushed red chilies. And these red chilies don't have to be a particular kind. If whatever kind you'll have in the kitchen, you add that. And then some ground coriander powder. And then 1 tablespoon of any type of oil that you have in the kitchen, whether it's olive oil, whether it's, cooking oil, any kind of oil. Or if you want the typical Indian flavor, then you can also add 1 tablespoon of mustard oil. I generally take, I like to prepare this dough by hand. So what I do is I use water little by little and continue to roll this dough until it's semi-soft and it's smooth. So it takes about 5 to 10 minutes rolling this dough together. And once your dough is ready, I suggest you put some damp cloth or, cover it up so that it doesn't get dry out and give it 5 to 10 minutes to rest. And then you come back and you basically try to mix it one more time, because that gives the flexibility that the dough needs. And then it's ready to be cooked. Or if you want to put it away, then put it in a Tupperware and pop it in your fridge.
And do you do that? Do you keep it for up to a week?
Yes, I do. I do that. Sometimes what I do is I make extra so that I can use it a few times a week, because this particular kind of roti, my kids like the flavor of it. And because of the chickpea flour, it provides the protein too.
So now back to the aloo methi. Assume that, as you suggested, we already have the potatoes that were cut and maybe kept in water so that they don't get spoiled.
That's
now
true.
What?
So then what you need to do is you basically have these basic ingredients ready at your fingertips. The few basic ingredients that you need are oil, then asafoetida that I mentioned earlier, some red chili powder, some coriander powder, cumin powder, if you have it handy, cumin seeds, and turmeric powder. These are the things that you basically keep it ready before putting the vessel on the stove. Once you have all of these things out, you have your methi leaves ready. Again, for a family of four, I take about 1 cube per person. So take about 4 to 5 cubes to make it. And then with 4 to 5 cubes, you take about 2 medium-sized potatoes. So that's the ratio that I use for my vegetable. And the simple steps are I basically heat up the oil in the vessel. It's about 1 tablespoon of oil. And then the first thing that I add to the oil is the asafoetida. I let it crackle a little bit. Then I add cumin seeds to it. And then I add the frozen methi leaves to it. I cover the pan and I leave it to simmer for about 2 minutes. That basically helps kind of defrost your methi. Once the methi is defrosted, you try to roast your methi for about, 30 seconds to a minute. That gives a very good flavor to the methi. Then you add your potatoes from the water. Do not add any water at this time. Then you start adding your all the spices that I mentioned earlier. We add about half a teaspoon of red chili powder, half a teaspoon of haldi, 1 teaspoon, 1 to 1.5 teaspoon of coriander powder, 1 teaspoon of cumin powder, and then salt is, you do it by taste, but if somebody wants an idea of the salt, I would say go with 1.5 teaspoon, and then you can basically taste it and figure it out what goes well with your taste. And one thing that I forgot to mention in the ingredient is that once the curry is ready, I generally try to squeeze half a lemon on top of the sabzi. So that is one of the ingredients that I missed earlier to mention.
I have heard, and I think I have experienced as well, that methi has a bitter taste. So is this something that you did here that helps remove it, or, you know, there's some other technique one should keep in mind?
So methi does have a bitter taste, and this is something that somebody who's trying in for the first time feels a lot, but this is something that you kind of basically grow to like it, and that's how it happens. But a few things that helps with the methi bitterness is that roasting technique that I mentioned earlier, that takes away some of the bitterness, and then also salt and lemon helps with the bitterness too.
Anything different to the steps if you did happen to, you know, get fresh methi?
So with fresh methi, I think the only big difference is that the first step, where you kind of defrosted the methi in the pan, you don't have to do those steps. So once you add, you make sure that, you know, the methi leaves are clean and they're chopped very finely, because you don't want big methi pieces. So once that's ready, you can just straight away roast it in the pan. So that is the, actually, the fresh methi kind of removes that additional step of covering it for a minute or two for it to defrost.
Okay. And then totally, how long do you keep it?
So I think it all depends upon how big your potato pieces are. So if you want it to come together in about 15 to 20 minutes, after you put all the spices in, after you put the potatoes in, then you cover the lid and you leave it for about 15 to 20 minutes. And if you want everything to be done in about 15 to 20 minutes, then your potato sizes should be small. So if I'm talking about a medium-sized potato, the medium-sized potato should be chopped into about 16 pieces.
Mm-hmm. So now you're... vegetable is cooking. Can you roll out the dough and make the parathas in parallel?
Absolutely. So the steps that I personally do at my end, if my dough is not ready, I prepare the dough first so that it gets some time to rest. Then I basically prepare the vegetable and let it cook. And once the vegetable starts cooking, that's when I start rolling my rotis and start making my parathas. So this is the excellent time to start rolling your breads or rotis.
So roll it to, you know, hopefully a round shape. does it matter though?
It doesn't. It doesn't really matter whether it's round, whether it's square. And one fun fact here is that not every household in India rolls it to round. Some of the household likes to be it square. And yeah, it really doesn't matter.
And then after that, what do you do? Like, how long? Is there a specific temperature that the tawa or the cast iron pan needs to be heated up to? Do you vary it?
I think the first thing that you need to do is basically make sure your cast iron pan is ready to use, which means that, you know, it's heated enough that when you kind of like put some drops of water on it, the water should bubble and evaporates right away. And that basically shows your pan is ready to be, tawa is ready to be used. And once that is done, then you can use your, you know, if you're using the flame or whatever, you know, the stuff you're using, make it to a medium temperature. And that is the perfect temperature to basically cook your roti on it. So once you roll a round disc or a square, anything which is rolled. And as far as the thickness of the roti is concerned, it all depends upon your personal, you know, preference. It, you know, take as much dough as you want and then roll it however thin you want. And then you basically put the roti on the tawa. And once the roti is on the tawa, give it a minute or two to get cooked from one side. And then you flip it, cook it from the other side. And if you want to make it like a paratha, just put a few drops on the cooked side. And then you flip it one more time. You make sure you take something that basically helps you press the roti on the top so that one side get cooked, then flip another. So four flips, and in four flips, the last two flips, you need some oil in order to make sure that, you know, the rotis are getting, you know, the heat and the oil is doing the magic and cooking your parathas. So four flips and your roti is going to be ready to be eaten.
You use the word roti and paratha interchangeably. What's the difference?
True, I am using them interchangeably. So roti is generally a generic term, but in my household, roti is used when we are not applying the oil on the last two flips, because what we do is we take the first two flips and then we cook the roti directly on the flame of the gas. That's what is roti in my family. And then paratha is when we use oil to cook the roti till the end.
Which is the one you're more partial to?
With aloo methi, I am partial more to the paratha. But with other Indian, you know, combinations, I like roti. So both are my favorites, but for aloo methi, I'll go with paratha.
Okay, Pooja, thank you so much. I've not made this in a long while. The cleaning of the leaves is always a big hurdle. So I will give the frozen methi a try. I have not actually ever done that before. So I'm excited, and I'm also excited that the roti sounds easier to roll than the regular wheat one, and it has higher protein too. So, you know, it's a win-win in my book.
That sounds great, Kanchan. I'm looking forward to hearing about your experience and how did you like it. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks all for listening. Anada and I explore simplification of the cooking process while retaining the flavors. This recipe, along with sub-recipes for the advanced ingredients that come together for the meal, is at mysimplecooking.com. If you're new to cooking or needed to fit into the time slots you have, join us one meal at a time.